Talking today with the 3rd District Congressman for the state of Oklahoma, former chairman of the House Agriculture Committee, Frank Lucas. Congressman, maybe before we talk about Farm Bill, let's talk a little bit about your opportunity to be a part of several lawmakers going to the White House to be with Secretary Perdue and with the president, President Donald Trump, talking some rural issues, some ag issues. Tell me about that meeting.
Absolutely, Ron. I went down to the White House on Thursday of this week. Myself, four governors, probably six senators, three other House members, the chief of staff, the president's son-in-law, the special advisor were there in the cabinet room around a big table discussing agriculture and what's going on in the trade negotiations, both in NAFTA and China. We even touched on Trans-Pacific Partnership for a little bit, but just a far-ranging discussion for an hour and a half about, from my perspective in particular, how important reauthorizing the Farm Bill is before it expires at the end of this September. But, of course, what's going to happen with our negotiations with the Chinese? How will the tariffs and the other actions, while proposed by the president, have not been implemented yet, trying to respond to how the Chinese have handled us in many ways unfairly in trade practices from intellectual property on down? There was also a discussion about the progress on the renegotiation of NAFTA. He wouldn't say days, weeks, months, but he said we're making great progress and we're getting there. And then the topic of the Trans-Pacific Partnership came up, and a clear indication from the president, I think, as in his entire presentation, he understands we have to sell into world markets, we have to move our extra wheat, cattle, cotton, corn, beans, pork, we have to move our products into the world markets. I was reassured by that, but you know, when you get an hour and a half of the president's time on a single subject, that's pretty impressive, which says something about his concerns for rural America.
Now, the TPP topic just fascinates me that, you know, obviously he pulled out promptly after campaigning against TPP for much of the presidential election that got him into the White House. Now he's saying maybe get back in. I mean, how do you do that at this point?
All I know, Ron, is the president is a negotiator. He's a wheeler-dealer, dealing with people, calling their bluffs, moving the ball around. He didn't become a multi-billionaire in the property business by not being able to make a deal in his best interest. So I've got to be willing to give him the benefit of the doubt to make a deal in our best interest. But I want to always note, unlike the previous two, three, four, maybe all the way back to, with the exception of Ronald Reagan, for decades back, every president was so consistent, both Republican and Democrat, that every partner or every entity we dealt with in defense, agriculture, everything else could always guess us days, years, months in a hand. Nobody's guessing what Donald Trump's up to. Nobody can second guess him, and that gives him a certain leverage in these negotiations we just simply haven't had in my adult lifetime.
Let's talk Farm Bill. Your chairman of the committee, Mr. Conaway, your successor, has rolled out the chairman's mark. He claims it's a partisan bill only in the area of nutrition. He calls it bipartisan otherwise. I do know that we've got comments coming from a fellow farm broadcaster, Mike Adams, who talked to Colin Peterson this morning, who claims he hasn't talked to the chairman in 4 weeks, and he's not very complimentary of the bill that was rolled out yesterday. Your thoughts about this bill that was proposed by Mr. Conaway?
Well, first off, Ron, being a former chairman of the Ag Committee, I have a role kind of like everybody's old uncle. So I spend time talking to everybody. I spend time working with everybody on both sides of the room, both sides of the committee, attempting to move the process forward. If you look at the draft of the 2018 Farm Bill put forth, in most areas, the lion's share of it is the concepts of the 2014 Farm Bill moved forward for 5 years. There are certain things that excite members from different regions of the country. My Democrat friends get really excited about the food stamp portion, the social nutrition programs, SNAP, whichever term you want to use. The work requirement that the committee and the chairman decided to put in there has really fired up my Democrat colleagues. I understand that. There are some issues amongst my Republican friends over what are the adjustments in CRP, how do we move resources around into EQIP. The only thing I can be sure of is that I'm advocating to everybody next Wednesday we need to move into a markup. We need to air our opinions. We need to sort through all of our details. Let's keep our amendments to a minimum, on the issues that are of the greatest importance, and let's get this bill out of committee and get it to the floor. If indeed the work requirement proposal for able-bodied people is going to generate this much controversy, then this is something that should be decided on the floor of the United States House by the entire 435 members. But let's hold the traditional working relationship in the Ag Committee we've had together. So I think it will surprise many people, but will it be a boring markup? Farm bill markups are never boring. It'll be lively. It'll be intense. It'll be sincere. But yes, can you tell, Ron, by the tone of my voice, I still get excited when we talk about marking up farm bills?
I think you do, sir. Now, let's talk about, you indicated that you kind of are the guy that can maybe grease some of the skids. Are you having some conversations with some of your Democratic friends?
I am visiting with both Democrats and Republicans. I'm reminding my friends that this is not a circumstance where you have 150 amendments, as we had last time in the committee, and then 150 amendments again on the floor. Let's discuss and let's work through the main points of contention, whether it's the social welfare programs, the food stamp issues, or let's work through the other issues, the nuances of crop insurance, conservation, all those kind of things. But let's hold our focus on the most important points, and let's pass a product out of committee. Even if on this occasion my Democrat friends can't vote for it, let's still pass a bill out of committee so we can get to the floor. We have to keep the process moving. The present farm bill expires at the end of September. If we don't reauthorize the farm bill, if we don't extend the 2014 farm bill, then we go back to 1938 and 1949 policy. If prices were great, that would be wonderful. But cash prices in virtually every commodity group in livestock are about half of what they were 4 years ago. The safety net's important. We have to have it. And we've got to move a farm bill to maintain that safety net so our neighbors can continue to feed and clothe the world.
Let's get to the safety net in just a second. But I wanted to talk, you're obviously subcommittee chair in that conservation area, and does look like you're doing some different things there. Are you okay with essentially phasing out the CSP program?
CSP program goes away. We need that money to properly fund the CRP as well as to fund fully the EQIP program, the basic cost share program where you do conservation practices. I know there are many supporters who are very enthusiastic about CSP, the old Tom Harkin program from a couple of farm bills ago. Just remember, in the way the old law read, after your five-year contract to do your practices, you had an option at five more years if you could come up with additional practices to justify the payments, and then that was the end of it. So for many folks, and your existing contract will be in force until it's completed, for many people who've utilized CSP, they were never going to be eligible again anyway.
Regarding CRP, obviously you're kind of rejuggling rental rates to try to get a few more acres in. I know that's something that Mr. Peterson was very enthusiastic about.
The number of acres that will be authorized in the program will be raised to 29 million. But the rental rates will be adjusted based on whether it's the first time you've participated in the program, whether you've renewed your contract for a second time or a third time, or if you're trying to renew it for a fourth time. The perspective of the committee was there's only so many conservation dollars. And, for instance, if you put your farm in 1985, you renewed it in 1995, you renewed it in 2005, maybe you renewed it in 2015, perhaps there comes a time when it should be used for some other practice. Now, there's about 3 million acres of grasslands reserve that we authorized in there, and that will enable you to move up to 3 million acres from CRP over to grassland where it can be used for grazing and other practices at a reduced rate, but still maintain the cover. What we're trying to do here is both send a message to the commodity markets with wheat and corn and beans and the commodities at half the price they were 4 years ago, that if prices continue at this level, there will be the ability for people to take acres out and put it into conservation practices as they want. But at the same time, we adjust the rates on multiple reauthorizations or reapprovals of contracts so that you receive less and less incentive to leave your property in. Maybe you need to rent it out to a young farmer to farm again, or a middle-aged farmer to expand his or her operation. Maybe it should come back into some source of productivity. There's just that argument that after 40 years, why should you still get an annual payment?
Let's talk safety net, if we might. Are you pretty happy with what's out there regarding Title I?
The most important element of the bill in the basic safety net is the option to pick between revenue or price, between ARC or PLC. When we did the bill in 14, because it was so dramatically different than anything else we'd done, and because we had to maximize the size of the safety net, producers had to pick for the five-year life of the farm bill which option they went. Prices were high, and ARC was created not from a perspective necessarily of my Southwest United States point of view, but from a Midwest price, that if prices were good and you started to have adjustments, changes, then it would pay. But if prices got low enough, it wouldn't provide any more safety net. That's where many people who took ARC find themselves now. PLC, price protection, the other option, the concept was that when prices were good, you wouldn't get anything. But when prices got bad, you get help. And the worse prices got, the more help you would get. Think about where we are now compared to 4 years ago. But I said at the time, and the committee said at the time, in 5 years, when reauthorize the farm bill, you'll be able to choose for a second time. ARC or PLC, price or revenue. We're coming up at the end of September. I believe in the bill as it's worded, or whatever we do, that choice will be there. I want my producers who might have made a decision based on what they thought the best circumstances were in 14, and the economic world has changed dramatically, I want them to be able to have a second pick. So that is in the bill. Look for a huge movement over to PLC price protection, Ron.
I think you're probably right on that. Finally, does look like Mr. Conaway has gone along with the idea of trying to get a little bit of money in for an FMD vaccine bank. That's something that a lot of livestock producers really have wanted.
For our listeners' benefits who have not been paying attention to this, there's a growing concern across the spectrum of the livestock industry that we are very susceptible to a natural occurrence of disease outbreak or even a potential attack in a weaponized fashion. The goal here is to set the money aside to create a national reserve of vaccine to address a variety of issues in beef cattle, swine, poultry, other diseases, have them pre-positioned so that if there's an outbreak, we can respond in a massive, thorough way. Now, there are other issues in addition to just how much vaccine do you buy, where do you stockpile it, how do you maintain it. The question becomes, how do you have the ability scientifically and production-wise to adjust your vaccines as diseases change or if they're weaponized so that you'll still have the maximum effect. This will be a down payment in the Farm Bill on that process, but we are moving in the right direction to protect the animal protein supply in this country.
Overall, Wednesday with the markup, are you feeling like things will get accomplished?
I believe at the end of the day we'll have passed the bill out. I'm not sure whether because of some of the very intense issues dealing with the nutrition title that it will be a bipartisan vote. It may be a partisan vote, but I believe at the end of the day we'll pass a bill out, we'll move it to the floor, and the floor, which will be I hope not as open a process as I had to deal with 150 minutes, but there'll still be 30 or 40 or 50, who knows, maybe 100 amendments. The floor is the place to fight out a number of these major social issues that may not go necessarily to how much wheat or corn or cotton or swine do we raise, but what kind of products can you buy with your food stamps? How much work do you have to engage in to qualify for your food stamps? What kind of training? That's an issue that maybe needs to be decided on the floor of the House.
Thank you, Congressman. Congressman Frank Lucas of the House Agriculture Committee. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.